Hello and welcome to the show Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. I am here in studio. We're joined with Patrick Rice.
Yes, the show is awesome, Dan.
What's up, Patrick? So, how are you?
Such an honor to be part of it with you.
I know. We're so blessed. And today, Patrick, we've got the best guest we've ever had. That guest is my wife, Amber. And so she's in studio with us today. We're going to welcome her on here in a little bit. But I'm married. I've been married for 10 years. Are you married, Patrick?
I'm so married.
It's so
10
good.
Years as well.
Marriage is awesome. And the beauty about marriage is that you get to dive in and you just know the person's heart, right? And so Amber, she's a graduate of Steubenville.
Me too.
Hey!
It's actually Franciscan University.
Franciscan University of Steubenville, that's right. And she studied theology under some of the greats there. And she's a mother of four children, so we have four kids. And how many kids do you have?
We have five.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah.
See, marriage,
I think my kids know your kids.
It bears fruit. But what inspires me the most about Amber, I just, you know, and your wife stays home, right?
And she does.
My wife stays home. And there's so many in the church. We're so blessed to meet so many stay-at-home mothers who that lay their careers down or lay, you know, she studied theology at Franciscan University. She could have been in any kind of a ministry that she wanted, but she's laid her career down. And so in a beautiful way, stay-at-home moms creatively bring in ministry through what they do. So we're going to open the show in prayer. You want to open us, Patrick?
Yeah, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, I thank you so much for just the wisdom that you have in bringing forth life, God, and bringing forth life that is happens in the beautiful domestic church. Father, I thank you for the example that Mary has brought to the church, that we are her offspring, and that the way that you're raising up mothers to love and to know their children like Mary loved and knew Jesus. So God, I pray that right now you would just increase an honor that we have for mothers, and that all mothers would know the supernatural vocation that they have, the power and the authority they carry, and that they can come to be just like you through the example of Mary, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just pray that in this show you would accomplish a great work in people's lives. Lord, I pray that chains would be broken and during this show. I pray that truth would reign. Lord, I pray against any lies and deception in people's lives, and that you would bring forth a spirit of truth. Allow truth to minister to your people right now, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, speak truth, Lord. Speak love. Speak mercy. Come, Holy Spirit. You are good. You are great. You are glorious. Lord, we just pray that your blessing would fall upon our listeners and that they would be your blessing in the world. We pray all this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So, Patrick.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Patrick, here's a cool thing. No matter who you are, you have a great mission in the kingdom of God, right? And I think sometimes it's easy for the evil one to say, hey, stay-at-home moms, you have a very small mission. Your small mission is just to minister to your family. But the Lord has a big mission for everyone, right? Like, and the it's a huge mission, of course, to minister to our families. But the Lord wants to do great things in all of our lives. And so we're going to bring on Amber. She's doing amazing things. She works with me at Catholic Youth Summer Camp. She also has started a ministry through social media that's impacting people's lives, and so we're excited. But before that, I just want to start with Colossians chapter 1.
Go for it.
And this is, let the word minister to you right now. This is what St. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1. He says, therefore, from the day we heard this, we do not cease praying for you and asking that you may be filled with knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the Lord, he wants to fill us with the knowledge of his will, right? He wants us to be filled with knowledge and to be transformed by knowledge. And then St. Paul says, so that we may live in a manner worthy of the Lord as to be fully pleasing in every good work, bearing fruit and growing in the knowledge of God. That the Lord always wants the gospel and the knowledge of him to bear fruit in our lives, mm-hmm. and to constantly be growing, right? So that every day, the more we spend time with the Lord, we're bearing more fruit and bearing more fruit and bearing more fruit. And we're doing it in a way in which we're growing. That it's not about being perfect now and every single day and just doing everything out of perfection, but that God is bearing fruit in our lives and we're growing with him day after day, day after day, so that we can live in the manner worthy of the Lord. And that we're strengthened with every power, St. Paul says, that we may be strengthened with every power in accord with his glorious might. So we're strengthened by his power and his might. And then it says that Jesus delivers us from the power of darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Right, Lord? So we just pray that we would have this deliverance in our own lives, that we'd be delivered from darkness, and we would be transferred into a new kingdom, the kingdom of his beloved Son. Patrick, can you just share how this happens in our lives, like how our minds are filled with the wisdom and the knowledge of the will of God, and then we're delivered and transformed? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's not a one-time deal. It's a process.
Amen.
It's kind of like the fact that God did this awesome work of miracles in Egypt, where he demonstrated the power, okay, to set people free from the oppression of the Egyptians, right? And that was all God. Israelites didn't do anything, but then they had to go through the desert, and they actually had to walk it out. So there's this like grace moment, like in Egypt, it's deliverance, but then there's this process that you have to go through from getting through the desert and into the promised land.
Amen.
And I mean, I love, and Dan, we relish these stories of the power of God that are setting people free, but there's this process that has to happen, and the process is called transformation.
Mm.
And transformation happens through what St. Paul says, the renewal of the mind. Are you getting this, listeners? Am I making sense? Like, so you've been in the world, you've been in Egypt, okay? A famous phrase, God got the Egyptians out of Egypt, but he had to get the Egypt out of the Israelites. Mm. I think I said that wrong. He had to get the Israelites out of Egypt, but it was hard to get Egypt out of the Israelites.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
And so we have, like, we're in the world, and then we get delivered from the darkness of the world, right? But then God's got to get the world out of us, and that happens through the renewal of our mind. Can we talk? You want me to teach on that a little bit?
Yeah, no, but I just, let's do it. Let's teach on the renewal of the mind. But before you hit on that, I think the context that you're starting with is critical, that the Egyptians were in slavery. Mm. And our minds are enslaved to the lies of the evil one.
Chains.
Right? Yeah, there's these chains upon our minds, and Jesus Christ wants to set us free through his truth. And so, listeners, I want that to be the context, that you're thinking of, what is my slavery? Where has the world enslaved me? Where has the evil one enslaved me? And how, through the renewal of my mind, can I be set free?
Yeah, so really quick, when we're talking about conversion, salvation experience, this powerful encounter, that's like the deliverance moment that you have where you give your life to Jesus, you confess your sins, right? And then God forgives. He does this awesome work. But then now we're talking about this transformation that has to happen. And St. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 12. And I'm really going to pick up here with verse 2. He says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect." So really quick, there's this mindset that's going on, the worldly mindset. And we could talk about wealth, pleasure, power, honor. You know, Aquinas talked about those four temptations that are of the world: wealth, pleasure, power, honor, that we're living for, which are, dying. They're not going to last forever. And then there's this kingdom reality that we come into through Christ. And Paul says, if you want to like really get this presence of God, this eternal treasure, that, you know, this pearl of great price that you're living for, you need to change the way you think. And the word that he uses here, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, is actually in the Greek, it's the same word that the gospel writers use to talk about the transfiguration of Jesus. That when Jesus went up on the mountain, he was transfigured. It's that same word, transformed. So actually, we get transfigured by renewing our mind. And what does it mean to renew your mind? It really means to change the way you think. The way that you think about, I don't know, your situation. Like, are you going to be, are you a victim of your circumstances, or are your circumstances going to become a victim of you? Because you have the power. Who are you? And it comes back to the identity. Who am I? What is my power? Who is my dad? What do I carry? What's my destiny? And once I get these fundamental truths down, once I think like Jesus, who thought of himself first as the Son of God, because of his baptism, everything starts to change, right? And so the process of getting through the desert, Dan, is renewing our mind and through the Word of God.
Yeah, I'm just getting a sense that the fruit that we bear is based on the mindset we have, right? And so if my mindset is darkened, I bear dark fruit, right? Mm-hmm. But if my mindset has been renewed and transformed, I bear good fruit, right? And I want to bear more fruit, right? And if we have an enslaved mindset, then what we do is we just simply transfer that slavery upon others. But if we have a free mindset and we have a renewed mindset, then we bring freedom to the captives.
And here's one example, and I know we're going to bring Amber on, but Jesus, he builds the church on Peter. You're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Matthew 16, right?
Yep.
And then right after he commissions Peter as the head of the church, he says, okay, I got to go to Jerusalem, suffer, be killed. Peter pulls him aside and says, Lord, heaven forbid that anything should happen to you. And Dan, what does Jesus say to Peter? Do you remember? I'm putting you on the spot, bro.
Wait. What does Jesus say to Peter?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He rebukes him. He says, get behind me, Satan, because you're thinking like men. Whoa. So Peter, never good to rebuke Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Never a good idea. To correct God. But he does that, and he says, get behind me, Satan, because you're thinking like men. So when we think like men, we yeah. release hell. But yep. when we think like God, like Jesus, we're able to release heaven, bring heaven
Amen.
To earth.
Amen.
Transform. We got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to think like God.
Amen. I want that. I want that for all of our listeners. I think a lot of times if we are struggling to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our lives, it's because our mindset needs to be transformed, right? Going back to that Colossians chapter 1, that Jesus delivered us from the power of darkness. So in the name of Jesus, we just want the power of darkness to be washed away from our listeners' lives today. And then he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That God wants to transfer us today. He wants to bring us into a new kingdom, not the kingdom of darkness, not the kingdom of slavery, not the kingdom of our past, but a new kingdom.
It's kingdom the promised land
of his beloved Son. The promised
That's the
land.
Promise, yeah.
And God has a promise for you. And he's done this in Amber's life. And she's her ministry is really helping people lay claim to the promise that the Father has for them. And so we're going to bring her on. Amber, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So can you just share with us, Amber, how the Lord has started working in your life when you were young and what he's done to really bring you into the kingdom of his beloved Son?
Yeah. So, okay. I think like so many young people, junior high, high school age, they find themselves in this place where asking themselves, who am I, right? And that's kind of normal. It's a normal developmental thing to start wondering like, okay, who am I apart from my parents? Well, so I was typical, searching for an answer to that question, who am I? And of course, I went to so many different places to find the answer to that question, whether it was different relationships, certainly looking for love. My own parents were carrying their own burdens and still at ripe maturity, still seeking the answer to that question of who they were. And because they didn't know fully who they were, they could not fill me to tell me who I was. And so I went, of course, to those four things, right, that Patrick was talking about, right? I wanted the prestige. I wanted the power, materialism, taking my identity in what I wore, taking my identity in the things that I could or could not accomplish, taking my identity in who I was or wasn't dating, who I was or wasn't hanging out with. And that made up for me who I was. And it wasn't until finally, as a senior in high school, some of my friends actually started a youth ministry program, right? It was like a teacher from my school, and it was one of the other moms that I used to babysit for, and it was nothing glamorous. It certainly wasn't Catholic youth summer camp, right? It was an old convent with red shag carpet and five of us, from that I had gone to junior high with. And I remember them asking me the question like, do you save room for your guardian angel to sit next to you no matter where you're sitting? Like, it was very silly and it was very elementary. But I remember they asked a question. We were sitting in the chapel that night. And after all this silly talk of saving room, they even asked if we saved room for the guardian angel when we sat down in the bathroom. I was like, I never really thought about that. It's like deep thinking with my fourth grade teacher. But we sat in the room that night and this well-intentioned mom said, I don't know why I started this youth group, but what do you guys want to get out of this? And I had just gotten out of a mentally and physically abusive relationship that I didn't understand at the time had been abusive. And I looked at this mom who I'd babysat for and known for all these years. And I said, I don't want this to be a social group. I don't want to go to enough youth groups to earn a seat to the ski trip. I want Jesus. I want to know him and I want everything to change. And that was the night that I started praying the rosary every day. And that was the night that I began letting go of abusive relationships in my life that were tearing me down. And I began seeking my identity in Christ, in who he was, and allowing him to speak into my life. So that was kind of the start of it. Of course, now, how much time do you have to keep going? Or?
Yeah, definitely. What were the chains like when you were growing up? Were there any chains that were placed upon you, right? That the Israelites that were enslaved, what were the enslaved mindsets that you experienced growing up?
I think a huge chain that was placed on my shoulders was having to prove my worth. In typical ways, such as the way that I looked, the things, as I said, that I could accomplish or could not accomplish. And there was a lie placed in my mind probably when I was 4 or 5 years old. I remember we were having a race. I have a niece who's just a year younger than me and my older brother, who is more like an uncle. And we lined up to have this race. And I kept losing the race over and over again. I kept losing the race. My niece was younger than me. Sounds so silly, but I have a very poor memory, but this sticks in my mind. I remember my brother looked at my niece and he kind of winked. And then it became time for the race to begin again. And they didn't run. They let me win because they were certain that I could never win on my own. And whether it was a little race like that or this just transferred into every area of my life in high school, I never tried anything because I was sure I would lose. I got my letter by being the manager of the boys' basketball team because I wanted to ride the boys' bus to the away games. I grew up then after youth group, fell desperately in love with Jesus, wanted nothing but to serve him, went off to serve with Net Ministries, which is where I met Dan. When it came time to unload the trailer, I carried a box that was the size of a shoebox. There was a lie planted in my mind that I could not do hard things. I couldn't carry a box. I couldn't win a race. I couldn't play a sport. And what I did was I put a mask on of weakness. Now, the Lord wants to use our littleness, wants to use our weakness like he does with St. Therese. But I twisted that in my mind to say, it's okay to tell yourself that you can't do anything. Jesus wants you to just stay little and weak. And that was a lie that held me back for even transferred then into my motherhood, where I, you know, having aced Christian marriage at Franciscan University of Steubenville, I thought that I was going to be the best mom ever. I had it down. I had failed at everything, but this was going to be the area where I was going to triumph and show the world how perfect I was. I was going to prove to everyone that I was good enough by being a fantastic mom. Well, guess what? Then I had kids, right? And they are Dan's kids, and they are wild.
What?
Because Dan's actually crazy if you don't know him.
So what happened then? Well, then the lie came back. Guess what? You're a crappy mom too. Just like you can't carry a box, just like you can't win a race, you can't be a mom. And so those lies then crippled me and put me in a place of darkness and depression. And what I want to share with you guys today is how the Lord has been lifting those curses and breaking those chains day by day in small steps.
Yeah, and I think this is so important, listeners, because we have these enslaved mindsets that take root when we're very young, and they enslave us for our entire lives unless they are broken, right? And these simple things that we may not even think were enslaved mindsets. When we were in junior high, someone may have spoken something to you, and it's clung into your mind, and it's created you in this mentality in you that I can't do X, I can't do Y, I can't be this, right? And the Lord wants to set us free from these enslaved mindsets today. He wants to break the chains of our mind so that we can have a renewed mind and we can be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his glorious son. And that's what this show is all about today. So we're gonna go to a break here. And after the break, Amber, we just want you to share what the Lord's done in your life and how he's bringing you out of these enslaved mindsets into the glorious light of his son, Jesus Christ. You're listening to Encounter on St. Gabriel Radio. I'm Dan Dimite, and here in studio we have Patrick Rice, and we're joined by Amber Dimite. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. And in this case, we have Amber Dimite, who's joined back in the studio with us. And Amber's talking about this process, this renewing of her mind and this freedom from the lies. And Amber, you started to kind of talk about these wounds that you had growing up and into motherhood. Can you define the lies that you kind of dealt with? How would you define them?
Yeah, I think the biggest one would be a lie of weakness, right? Not in a true sense, whereas God is so much greater than us. And yeah, like we shouldn't be surprised when we mess up and we sin. That's very true. None of us is perfect. All have fallen short of the glory of God. That is true. But the reality is that as a Christian, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the Holy Spirit is empowering me towards greatness. So one of the first and most primary lies that I believed was this weakness and I would say just incapable, just held down and unable to grow. And I think when I gave birth to Sophia, this is such a huge moment for me because I remember, you know, I told you guys I wanted to be this great mom. Mm-hmm. I was going to be amazing. I was going to be incredible. I was going to be perfect. And when we first laid eyes on Sophia, I never wanted to be more perfect than in that moment. She would never wait for anything. She's our oldest. She's 8 now. She would have everything she needed and most of what she wanted. She would never wait for a thing. She would have the perfect mother and I would be everything to her. I wouldn't let Dan hold her. I wouldn't let anybody hold her. She was mine and I was going to be everything to her.
Were you afraid that Dan would juggle her?
I was afraid. I was afraid that no one had the intuition to care for her the way that I did. And when he held her as far away from me as he is, 3 feet away, I missed her. My soul longed for her and I had this longing to be perfect for her the way that I'm sure every mother that's listening right now could identify with. And so when I began to find myself and to hear that lie creep in that I was incapable of motherhood, that call that I had longed for so long and that had been written on my soul to be mother, when that lie of weakness and incapability creeped in there, that's when I became in my life very, very crippled by that lie.
So what effects did this have in your life? Like, so basically what, Amber, are you saying that you came to believe these lies?
Mm-hmm.
How did that manifest in your life?
When you believe them, when you hear those lies and you allow them to implant themselves within you, you start walking in darkness and walking in failure. So rather than accepting that transfer into the kingdom, which Jesus has died for us, right? That transfer, rather than he gives us the transfer, he purchased it, but we have to accept the transfer. He offers that opportunity to us. But I'm just going to stay here in the darkness where I'm comfortable. You've broken my chains, Lord, but I'm going to pick them back up and I'm going to drag them along with me because this is what I know. I am failure. I am weak. I am incapable.
How do these chains, these lies get broken?
Okay, so
what's the story?
The Lord, and this has really been kind of a new thing, probably in the last year and a half, and that's not to say that the Lord hasn't been moving and shaking in incredible ways, but something new that he's been doing as of recently is he has called me to two things, one that I would call a spiritual proclamations, and another that very simply is gratitude for who he is and what he's done, right? So I want to talk about this approaching the Lord in gratitude for who he is and what he's done. It's really been very simply a transfer in the way that I approach the Lord, whereas instead of going to him and saying, fix me, fix me? I'm broken. I'm a mess. I'm a terrible mother. Why won't you fix me? Why won't you make me good? Instead, it's a transfer, and I look at him, and first I tell myself who he is. I'm created in the image and likeness of a God who is healer, of a God who is life, of a God who is power. Sure, I have fallen short of the glory of God, but in my weakness, he has chosen to give his life for me. I am no longer victim. I am a victor. And then it transfers in to this prayer of not begging God to heal me, but accepting the healing that God has already won for me. Mm-hmm. It has been purchased. It is for me. I have to accept that transfer. So just this morning, as I was preparing for this show, and the Lord spoke to me, you are my child. Well, sometimes it's hard for us to even to hear the voice of truth because we're so bogged down by the lies. So the Lord says, who am I? If you can tell God who he is, at the same time, you're telling yourself who you are mm-hmm. because you're created in the image and likeness of God.
That's a good word.
Absolutely. I like that. So this morning, the Lord spoke to me and I wrote it out here in my journal. I am open to the Holy Spirit. I am a vessel of Jesus Christ. And I think the Lord wants to speak this to those that are listening today, too. I don't think he gave this to me for myself alone. He said, I am a spokesperson for the Holy Spirit. I am a tree planted by streams of living water. My tree is home to a diversity of birds, right? And maybe this sounds a little silly to you, but this was so beautiful to me. The Lord showed me the birds that were nesting in me, that I am mother not only to Sophia, Giovanni, Gemma, and Liliana, but I am mother to so many. The birds are diverse and many are wounded, but in Jesus' name, they are not meant to remain wounded. They will come to me for healing. And that healing will transfer from me, that river of flowing water. The Lord is healing me not for my own sake, but for the sake. Yes, for my own sake, mm-hmm. because he loves me and he's not a user. But not only for my sake, but for the sake of all who he sends to me. Those diverse birds that he will send to rest in my branches that are bearing fruit, like the verse that you shared earlier today, Dan, bearing fruit, growing, transferring. It's all ing. It's in motion. I am moving in the spirit day by day.
Let's take a praise break.
Amen.
God, you're so
thank
good.
You, Jesus. Praise
you,
Lord.
You are setting free. You are the healer, hey, and we just praise you for who you are.
I think, Amber, you set forth a new form of prayer in people's mm-hmm. lives. Like, that this is, so often we hear all these different prayer formulas. Like, there's Lectio Divina, mm-hmm, there's all mm-hmm, kinds of different mm-hmm. meditations. And what you said is, prayer is simply telling God who he is mm-hmm. and then telling myself who I am in him, mm-hmm. right? And that's imagine how radically different your life would be is if in your prayer time every day you told God who he was and you were grateful for who he was and you mm-hmm. knew who mm-hmm. he was and his power and his glory, and then you told yourself who you were in light of him. So yeah. What happens is we allow the devil to tell us who we are, right? But in prayer, the Lord tells us who we are in him. Amen to that. So, So what about the voice of the shepherd? How have you heard the voice of the shepherd in your life, the voice of truth versus the voice of the evil one?
Yeah. So John chapter 10, so important to me. When we were at Franciscan University of Steubenville, I was blessed to be in a household called Love of the Lamb. And part of I grew so much in that household, but part of even my woundedness in that was I'm the weak little lamb. I'm the one broken on the Lord's shoulders, and I'll stay broken and I'll remain here forever, just resting on his shoulders. And certainly we're all called to rest on his shoulders for a time. However, what the Lord has spoken to me through continuing that image of the sheep and the shepherd, very powerfully, my favorite verse in John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. They will not follow the voice of the liar, right? And so that kingdom of darkness is snapping at our heels. That snake is snapping at our heels every day, especially if we are walking in the power of ministry. And I tell you, there is no greater form of ministry than the ministry of motherhood, right? I am raising up saints and disciples for the kingdom of God. And the choices that I make every day to walk in his light are being transferred to the next generation of disciples, not just to my children, but to their friends, so on and so forth. So anyway, these lies are going to continue to come in and attack me every day, right? We know that the thief comes to steal, slaughter, and destroy. We also read that in John chapter 10. So guess what? Liar's going to lie. The liar is going to creep in and he's going to try to fill our heads with lies, and we should not be surprised by that. But what we also need to know is that we can shut those lies down. There's no reason for us to be conversing with the enemy. We don't need to argue with him. We don't need to prove to him that he's wrong, right? The victory has been proven. The victory has been won. So I will out loud, my kids laugh at me, they'll hear me out loud shout out, "Shut up, Satan, you're a liar."
Yeah!
You're a liar. Not today, Satan. Right? So, and very intimate in our home, I come from a long line of Italian yellers, right? Yell, 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 yell. That's the way that we deal with our emotions, right? And that, you know, we can laugh about that. It's all fine and well until you're yelling at your children. That's not funny and that's not okay. So that's been not only a wound, but also a habit that you have to break. You have to retrain yourself in how you discipline, right? And so we do all these hilarious, and the Lord wants, or the liar wants to tell me every day, you're just a yeller who's never going to change. This is the way you were taught to mother. This is who, that's not who I am as a mother. It's a bad habit that's going to be broken down. So my kids crack up at me all day. I want to yell at them and they'll hear me singing, "I'm not going to yell today. I'm a daughter of God," like just crazy, you know, like reminding myself in song. And they start doing it because I'll tell you, some of these curses had begun to be transferred to my children. And I see my daughter stopping to take deep breaths. I see her stopping and recollecting herself in the Lord, right? Some of this stuff, yeah, it's lies, it's curses. Some of it, friends, is just habits. Like Patrick, you were saying, like walking through that desert. I've got to get the world out of me. I've got to get the lies out of me. And I've got to work hard every day, shovel in hand, to dig out those lies, dig out those habits, and walk in truth and freedom in Jesus.
I think the key verse, Amber, that's active in your life is John 8:32. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
It's not enough just to renounce those lies. You got to let the Lord replace them with truth. So how is God speaking that truth to you? Is it simple? Can you describe that to our listeners?
Yeah, it's very simple. We've just got to quiet our hearts to sin. I mean, the world is telling us so loudly who we are, and you've probably heard this before, but it's so real. You flip on the radio, you flip on the television, you're not enough unless you have A, B, and C, right? They're telling us that you need this to be happy, you need that to be happy, you need to be perfect to be happy, right? And I think that this that the slavery of perfectionism is another thing that holds us down. We just need to quiet ourselves before the Lord. And I was telling Dan this morning, if I miss those, even if it's just 15 to 20 minutes in the morning where I sit in the quiet before the children wake up to ask me to give, and I sit and receive the truth of who I am from the Lord, then how much more fully am I able to give throughout the day? It's sitting quiet with, maybe it's the gospel of the day, maybe it's maybe he's given me Philippians or Colossians and asked me to be engrossed in that for a time. But when you sit with his word, you're going to hear his voice. You're going to hear him, like we said earlier, reminding you who you are in him. And we lay claim to that. We don't beg him to make us whole. We claim our wholeness in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I say, you know, the idea of a false humility has really creeped into our church, right? Where like there's this false humility that says I have to be small and little, and God doesn't want me to do great things with my
because
life.
Because I'm bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what happens is we've got this lie that I have to remain little and God doesn't want to do great things in me. But true humility is knowing the truth of who you are, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I have false humility, I'm always looking for others to tell me who I am. But when I have true humility, I'm looking to the Father to minister to me and to tell me who I am in his Son, right? And who I am as his Son. And when the Father tells me who I am, then all of a sudden my whole life is transformed because I become who the Father wants me to become, right? And as opposed to becoming who I thought I was supposed to be or who the evil one has told me I am, that I am becoming who God says I am. And so, Amber, what is the Lord like for those who are struggling to know who they are, what their true identity is? What would you say to them? Mm-hmm. Like when the liar is just speaking in their lives and lying to them, how would you, what do you think the Lord would want to say to them?
I think the Lord would speak, "You are my child, chosen, perfect, cherished, and called to my mission that I have for you, that I have created you without blemish. I see you. I know you. I have a plan for your life. I mix together the shade of your eyes. I have numbered the hairs on your head, and you are mine. You walk in my light and in my truth. I have a mission for you, for your good and for the glory of my kingdom. You are a part of something so huge. You are a part of my body. You are the beat of my heart, and I long to endow you with my Holy Spirit. I long to live in you, to empower you, to flow through you. I want you to receive the gifts of who I am: joy, peace, surrender, self-control, understanding. I want to bolden you with courage, with forbearance, that no matter what you face, you know that I am at hand, not next to you, but inside you. Christian, you are Christ. You bear his body within you. We aren't just little people who believe in Jesus. We are Christian. Christ alive in us. Therefore, Jesus tells you today, you will do not only what I've done, but greater things still. You are called to greatness in Jesus' name. And little Saint Therese, she'd be rolling in her grave if she heard the lies that we put on her. Yes, she did every small thing with great love, but she didn't let living in a convent stop her from being the patroness of missions. She was a great missionary. She was great in all of those little things, those rungs on the ladder of perfection. She knew it was about the climb more than Miley Cyrus, right? She was climbing every rung of that ladder toward the arms of the Lord. And look at her. She is one of the greatest saints the church has ever known. And you and I are called to that same greatness. Jesus doesn't love Therese more than he loves you. He doesn't have a smaller calling for you than he did for John Paul II. God has great and mighty plans for you. You've got to put in for the transfer.
Amen to that.
You're just like exuding this confidence that of a mother that knows who she is, that knows her call to greatness. She's raising up a supernatural family, and she's impacting the world beyond her family. And I feel like this might be foreign. If you're listening to the show and you might be getting offended, like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound Catholic. This doesn't sound like what the gospel's trying to say. But we have to let the gospel challenge us, because when James and John were, the disciples were debating, like, well, Lord, who's the greatest? And I think, Amber, I've heard many homilies where, priests themselves have said, like, the desire for greatness, the Lord rebuked them. But actually, when we actually read the gospel, Jesus says this: if you want to be great, then you must become a servant of all. He doesn't rebuke them for desiring greatness, because that's their spiritual DNA. That's their spiritual DNA. And so he actually redefines what greatness is. It means becoming a greater servant.
Sure.
And that's what our identity points to. We don't serve ourselves. We serve others. And I think once we can move beyond that, we can see one of the symptoms of false humility, Dan, is when we get sensitive to other people, maybe if we think, oh, that person's building themselves up, they're making themselves more than they're meant to be. No, like, I think there's a false humility, a leaven that's at work in your mindset, that we need to actually see the greatness in other people and call them to that greatness and not try and beat them down.
Yeah.
When I was a small church, we don't need a small church.
Well, it's interesting too, Amber, that you referenced St. Therese, because I think sometimes motherhood or even fatherhood, parenthood can sometimes feel like you're trapped in a cloistered convent, right? Yeah. Because you're cloistered by these commitments to your children, and you're like, well, how can I be great for the kingdom of God? And I fall into this lie sometimes. How can I do great things for God when I have to do so many worldly things as a father, right? And mothers, I'm sure, experience that even greater. How can I do great things when I'm stuck in the simplicity of everyday life and the everyday grind? The Lord just wants to break us out of that, right? Because Therese was in a cloister. She was a cloistered nun, and yet she is the patroness of missionaries. And she's transformed the world with her great little way through a conquering love because of her hunger for greatness.
Right.
How are you striving for greatness within motherhood?
Oh, boy. Okay, so one of my favorite quotes, and this is actually from a book called I Believe in Love. It's based on the spirituality of Saint Therese. And it says, without love, everything is burdensome. Everything is tiring. The cross, taken up hesitantly, is crushing. But taken up smilingly, by free choice, the cross will carry you much more than you will carry it. And if you, oh man, wiping butts and wiping countertops and wiping snot, I am wiping something all day, every day.
It wipes you out.
It wipes you out. That was good. That was
thanks.
A good one.
I'll write
one.
That one down.
Yeah, man. Okay. Yeah, we did this back and forth. That's good. If you don't think that, you know, moms are listening, dads are listening, caregivers, it's not easy. But truly, I have seen more transformation in those moments where I pick up my rag with a smile, where I pour that milk in the bottle one more time with a smile. When I make the song of my heart, it is my joy to serve. My motherhood is empowering. It is full of joy. It is full of peace. But when I take it up, me, when I'm a me monster, right? When I want to sit down and what? Watch Netflix and eat chips, right? Then motherhood is misery. So it is, Patrick, like you said, about service. That is how my motherhood has made me holy.
Amen. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. We're going to take a short break, and right after the break, we're going to hear a little more about Amber's life-changing ministry. Hello and welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We're here with Amber Dimite, and she's sharing with us about how the Lord breaks us from the lies of the evil one and sets us free into the life and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and who we are in Him. Amber, so how have you taken this into an active ministry lifestyle? So how are you helping women overcome the lies of the evil one so they can live in the truth and the knowledge of God?
Yeah. So first and foremost, it's my absolute joy to be able to do a little bit of traveling around our diocese, stay close, and just to be able to share with different mommy groups and different parishes and things like that have invited me in and allowed me to share these truths with them through my own personal testimony, you know, and just what God's doing through me and sharing His word with them. So that's been a really big way. But also as a stay-at-home mom in my little momastery, if you will, sometimes it, you know, I missed that daily face-to-face interaction with other women. And I was also looking for a way that I could practically help empower women to live happier, healthier, and holier lives. So I shared with you guys about my 5-year-old race where that lie was planted in my mind that I would never win a race. I shared with you carrying the little box from the missionary van because I just wasn't strong enough to carry the big one, right? So something that was huge for me was I wanted to defeat the lie that I was incapable of anything physical. So I ended up getting involved with this online community of Catholic women that were devoted to prayer and also exercise. And, you know, I had 4 kids and there may have been some things that I wanted to see change in there, you know, as far as physically. But what I never expected to happen was this mental transformation where I started to realize that I truly was an overcomer, that I could do hard things. If I set my mind to it, there was actually no boundary that could hold me down in Jesus's name. That when I was connected to Him in prayer, when I was sacrificing and pushing myself and leaning into His strength, that I could carry the biggest box in the van, right? So, and not that I would take my worth in carrying bigger boxes and winning races, but simply to break free from that lie that there was so much that I could not do. And so this had such an amazing transformation on my life. Also, as a person that does struggle with minor depression and anxiety, just realizing that God had created me body and soul, and that through investing in this temple that He had given me and treating it like a temple and not like a trash can, I was actually seeing improvement in my yelling habits. I was seeing improvement in my mood. I was seeing improvement in the way that I react to different situations, depending what day of the month it is, right? I was seeing lots of different transformations in my life through really, truly appreciating my body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. So I decided to start my own faith and fitness accountability group. We are called the Conquerors Club. And of course, that verse comes from Romans chapter 8. And we read, what can separate us from the love, that empowering love of Christ that transfers us from darkness into light, right? Who shall separate us? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, motherhood, right? No, none of these things. For in all of these things, we are more than conquerors in Him who loves us. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor any of these things will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. And so we are called the Conquerors Club. We are a group of over 200 women sharing accountability in daily prayer and exercise and nutrition. We hold each other accountable to treating our bodies like temples and not trash cans. And I have seen so many women just empowered in their motherhood and empowered in gratitude for these amazing bodies that God has given us. You know, there's lots of yucky stuff out there in the fitness world. There's lots of unreachable perfectionism that's put out there, unrealistic expectations for what beauty looks like. We're crushing that crap right to the ground.
Yeah, and so this is this is amazing. Like, I love that phrase, momastery, right? Like, if any of you are feel like you're stuck in a momastery and like, I'm just stuck in this little life that I can't do anything great. Mm-hmm. Like, so using social media as a stay-at-home mom, you're ministering to over 200 women around the country, right?
Yeah, and all over.
This is the gift of the new evangelization, right? Like, what is God asking you to do? And every day, you're able to share daily gospel reflections and preach life into these women's lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the most... And we're going to pray here in a little bit. So just a quick story. How have you seen transformation in someone's life?
Yeah. So, of course, we work a lot with physical transformation that I think can start to make people uncomfortable. You know, sometimes people don't like to talk about that because I've always been a woman who preached to other women, certainly you are beautiful as you are. So this isn't about unrealistic beauty expectations, but I have seen mothers that were couch ridden, that were unable to chase and play and give to their children, whose relationships with their husbands were wounded because they weren't able to see themselves as capable and beautiful anymore. I've seen women lose upwards of 80 pounds, and they are now videotaping themselves doing backflips on the beach, you know, with their children, running, laughing, playing, and living the abundant life that they've been called to. Not only that, but a lot of these women, you know, in Columbus, we have a fantastic community that we're surrounded with. Mm-hmm. A lot of these women that I met at Franciscan University or in my travels with Net Ministries, they don't have a community of life and love surrounding them. So the Conquerors Club has become their community where we do come together to share gospels. Right now, we're journeying through Lent together. We're fasting together. We are loving, supporting, and upbuilding one another and pulling one another deeper into the deep from glory to glory.
Amen. I love the name Conquerors Club too. I feel like we should have that mentality for the church, right?
Yeah.
Like what is the church? The church is the Conquerors Club, right? That we are more than conquerors in Christ, and we are bringing victory, and we're helping people go from victim to victor, right?
Absolutely.
And there's so many victim mentalities out there. There's so many broken mentalities. And we want to transfer people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son, right?
Absolutely.
That we're going from victimhood to victory in the Catholic Church. And that's exciting. We're just going to close in prayer. Before we do that, Amber, if people want to get a hold of you, how could they do that?
Absolutely. Just find me on Facebook, Amber Demette, D-E-M-A-T-T-E. If you friend me on Facebook, you'll have access to everything that I do with my ministry through there.
Awesome.
Yeah. Dan, before we pray, I just want to, I think there's something, there's like a lie or in our process that we kind of get wrong that I think prevents the whole thing. So I think a lot of times we judge our identity based upon our experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what that looks like is this, like, you know, God says, I've made you righteous, I've made you holy, I've made you good. And then we look at our past, we look at our experience, and you're like, I'm not seeing righteousness, I'm not seeing holiness, I'm not seeing, being cleansed. And the problem is when we base our identity off our experience and what we've done, we don't allow the renewing of the mind to take place because we've put it in the wrong place. It's kind of like this. I've heard it said, do you call an apple tree because it's bore apples?
I guess.
You know, you could, But the question is, before an apple tree is born, apples, does it stop being an apple tree?
Oh, yeah.
It's because it has the DNA of an apple tree.
It has the ability.
It has the ability to do it, has the potential to do it. And so if we do the same thing in our life, if we judge our identity based upon what we've done, our performance, our fruit, then we're going to stop ourselves from growing, okay? And with the renewing of the mind, we need to come into agreement with our spiritual DNA. Mm-hmm. But like Paul said, you know, don't you know that when you went under the water and were baptized, your old man died, mm-hmm. and you received a new nature, mm-hmm. a nature birthed in the Holy Spirit. And when you come to be convicted about your new nature as a son of God, as a daughter of God, well, guess what? That seed is able to bear fruit, right? And so it's not about your experience. You have to come into agreement with what God says about you. And when that happens, the lies get broken, mm-hmm. the truth comes out, and then the fruit of righteousness can come. Mm. You have to, like Romans 6:11, Paul says, from now on, do not think of yourself. You need to think of yourself as dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus.
Amen to that.
So I think, can we just close with a renouncing a few lies?
Yeah.
And I'm going to start, and then we're going to just declare those truths over our audience, mm-hmm. in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, you gave us authority over sickness, disease, over evil spirits in the heaven, over lies. And God, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And so together, we just repeat, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie.
That God hasn't called me to change the world.
That God hasn't called me to change the world.
I renounce the lie that God hasn't called me to greatness.
I renounce the lie that God hasn't called me to greatness.
I renounce the lie that I'm powerless to change.
I renounce the lie that I am powerless to change.
I renounce the lie that I won't be free of my struggles.
I renounce the lie that I won't be free of my struggles.
Let's just declare some truths. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I declare the truth.
I declare the truth.
That I am dead to sin.
That I am dead to sin.
And living for God in Christ Jesus.
And living for God in Christ Jesus.
That I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit.
That I am a temple of the Holy Spirit.
I carry the presence of God everywhere I go.
I carry the presence of God everywhere I go.
I have an open heaven over me.
I have an open heaven over me.
Released at my baptism.
Released at my baptism.
The Holy Spirit is upon me.
The Holy Spirit is upon me.
He's in me.
He's in me.
I can hear the voice of God.
I can hear the voice of God.
Because I'm his son or daughter.
Because I am his son. Daughter.
And he wants to use me to bring his healing.
And he wants to use me to bring his healing.
And Jesus wants to heal me.
And Jesus wants to heal me.
That God is always in a good mood about me.
That God is always in a good mood about me.
And I'm made to live a supernatural lifestyle.
And I am made to live a supernatural lifestyle.
I know who I am.
I know who I am.
The devil knows who I am.
The devil knows who I am.
And if you knew who I am, you would really like me.
You would really like me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, man. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to go back to that new form of prayer that Amber talked about. The prayer is simply telling God who he is, and then telling ourselves who we are in him, right? And if you did that every day, start every morning worshiping the Lord, telling him who he is, and then listening to the Lord, just ask him that simple question, Lord, who am I in you? And then telling yourself that all day long.
We do it in the creed at Mass. It's nothing
new.
We
do. Yeah. It is, exactly.
I believe in one God.
I believe in Jesus Christ. Tell him who he is. And it's so powerful when we tell ourselves who we are.
Yeah.
Amber, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
And thank you for the grace that you give to mothers throughout the world and to all of us. Thank you, listeners, for listening. The Lord wants to give you more freedom so that you can bear more fruit and continue to grow into all that you've been created to be. To learn more about our show, go to encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Or if you'd like to share your testimony in our show, we'd love to hear from you, encounterradio.org. Thank you. God bless.